It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Patricia Naft. In the early hours this morning, a man in Delta was stabbed outside a car wash on Main Street. The victim suffered serious injuries as well as having his wallet and cell phone taken. He described his attacker to the Delta Police Department as a Hispanic male, 5'10", slender build with tattoos on his face. The suspect in this case remains unknown and at large. The Paradise Theater in Paonia is now a historic landmark. Last November, the Friends of the Paradise Theater applied for the designation, and last week, the Delta County Commissioners approved it. KVNF's Laura Palmisano speaks to Tom Stevens, the vice president of the theater's board, about the designation.
How long has the Paradise Theater been in Paonia?
Paradise Theater was actually built in the summer of 1928. At that time, it was called the Paonia Theater.
Why do you think it's a good idea to have the Paradise designated as a historic landmark?
Well, it helps out with the credentials of the theater. We're a nonprofit organization that owns it now, and we rely on grants and donations, and anytime there's historic designation, it just helps with that process.
The Paradise Theater has changed hands over its 87-year life so far. Who's currently running the theater?
Well, it's currently run by a nonprofit, so it's a community theater. Friends of Paradise Theater is the name of the nonprofit.
And how did that story come to happen? I know there was a bit of a fundraiser, and there was worry that the theater could close because it couldn't afford a digital conversion.
That's correct. They stopped putting movies on film a couple years ago, and so we were unable to get current movies. The previous owners, Jason and Regna Jones, couldn't afford to upgrade the theater, and so it was a chance that it could just absolutely go black and that we wouldn't have our theater in Paonia. And so through a Kickstarter campaign and some very generous local donors and some investors, we were able to buy the building and reopen the theater with first-run movies, and then also we have live entertainment.
What makes this theater special to you, and why do you think it's an important thing to have here in Paonia?
A small-town theater is critical to just the existence of the downtown. It keeps a vibrant feel to the downtown. It's a place for people to gather, and it's something that's kind of dying out in America, and we just hate to see that happen here in Paonia.
That was Tom Stevens with the Friends of the Paradise Theater speaking to KVNF's Laura Palmisano. Eagle County is taking a big step towards increasing its support for renewable energy. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has the details.
Eagle County's largest ever investment in renewable energy will be for solar power. The county is buying enough energy to offset about a third of its electricity use. The purchase of $3 million for 1 megawatt is for solar power created by a large solar panel farm in Carbondale. That's at the Clean Energy Collective's Sunnyside Ranch, which recently opened. Several Eagle County offices are contributing to the purchase, including the airport, transportation service, county general funds, and others. It will be paid off with utility credits over the next dozen years. Energy savings are projected at $2.7 million over the next 20 years. The investment will reduce total Eagle County government greenhouse gas emissions by 13%. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
Even with recommendations from a task force studying the issue, state lawmakers did little where oil and gas drilling are concerned during their annual session. As a result, some of the more long-standing issues, such as local control and public health concerns, are still simmering. Benta Berkland takes a look at what's next and the likelihood for a possible fight at the ballot box over fracking.
Energy development is always a hot topic at the State House, but this year it was oddly quiet. Part of it was due to timing. Lawmakers spent the first half of the session waiting for Governor John Hickenlooper's task force to make its recommendations, and then there was the split legislative control.
I think there was a pretty strong recognition that any kind of bill that would have been introduced in the House and had it passed the House, it probably would not have got through the Senate.
That's Democratic Representative Mike Foote of Lafayette.
The oil and gas industry has a lot of strong friends in the Senate.
While the issue doesn't fall entirely along party lines, Republicans did pick up a one-seat majority in that chamber following last November's election, and Democrats maintained a small majority in the House. The task force was created to avoid a fight at the ballot box, but Foote says his constituents expected lawmakers to do more.
I don't think there was a lot of satisfaction with the task force recommendations. They recommended a few things that were pretty minor. The task force did not get to the heart of the matter, which is the increased local control.
The task force did offer up one proposal that would get local governments more involved in developing large drill sites, but it stopped short of allowing cities and counties to adopt stricter rules than the current state standards or banning development altogether. The governor says it's an ongoing process.
Each year we pass more things, and we're always trying to find ways of arriving at cleaner air and cleaner water and spending less money in doing so. And if you were to talk to Noble and Anadarko and go out and they're very concerned, they're willing to invest the money.
Hickenlooper says the broader discussion among companies has also shifted.
Really, for the first time, we saw the industry stepping up and saying, all right, we respect property rights, but we recognize we've got to, when we're operating close to where people live, we need to be operating under a different set of standards.
The Colorado Oil and Gas Association agrees that companies have made a lot of strides. Doug Flanders is a spokesman.
I think what we finally saw this last session is the culmination of a lot of about 4 years of just doing the unsexy work, talking, negotiating, working with so many stakeholders to where we can truly begin to separate those concerned citizens that we need to have a conversation with those activists who just want to ban oil and gas.
The Oil and Gas Association is also putting more money into public outreach and recently launched a monthly podcast to try and communicate with new groups of people. Flanders says the goal is to shed light on the regular people working within the energy industry.
People like to look at think about big oil, that we're some, monolith, and that we all, the oil companies, and they all think alike. But in reality, 110,000 jobs are supported.
Despite a quieter legislative session on the policy front, the underlying issues of local control and drilling aren't going away anytime soon. Stan Dempsey is the head of the Colorado Petroleum Association. He says he thinks there will definitely be a version of a fracking ban going before voters in 2016.
Whether or not there's a well-funded ballot initiative affecting fracking, there's going to be a not-so-well-funded ballot initiative by the community rights folks. The question is, will Tom Steyer step in? Will Jared Polis step in?
Big Democratic donors like environmentalist billionaire Steyer and Congressman Polis, who was funding a ballot push last year, could help pay for an initiative in 2016. But it is a presidential election year, and Colorado will also have a U.S. Senate seat in play. Dempsey says that makes the calculation more difficult for Democrats.
I think, if the likely Democratic nominee is Hillary Clinton, I think she's made positive statements about oil and gas production. It may not be the issue that they want to focus on. There's lots of other issues affecting the United States.
It would also divide Democrats within the state, since Governor John Hickenlooper is strongly opposed to any ballot initiatives to restrict energy development. But for many local residents along the Front Range, neither the industry nor the state are doing enough to address truck traffic, noise, health impacts, and proximity to homes and schools. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.